Hello and welcome to Hardcover Hoes, a long-distance book club where two book lovers express their feelings on their book of the moment via podcast. I am one half of your host, Sam Cabrera Dixon.
And I'm Sammy Skorstad.
Together we have combed through book talk, combined our to-be read lists, and now we intend to make our way through them one book at a time. We'd love for you to come along with us and join the discussion.
The book of the moment for today's episode is Hellbent by Leigh Bardugo. Just a forewarning for those of you listening, this is not a spoiler-free zone. We will be discussing this book in all of its glory, which of course includes revealing the ending. Leigh Bardugo is the number one New York Times best-selling author of Ninth House and the creator of the Grishaverse, now a Netflix original series, which spans the Shadow and Bone trilogy, the Six of Gross duology, the King of Scars duology, and much more. How much more? What else is there?
She's got, like, kind of, like, anthologies the Grishaverse and stuff like that.
Okay. Her short fiction has appeared in multiple anthologies, including the Best American Science Fiction and Fantasy. She lives in Los Angeles and is an associate fellow of Pauli Murray College at Yale University.
Can you tell I haven't had my caffeine? Because when you were saying Pauli Murray, I was like, Paul McCartney. Like, what is wrong with me?
Paul McCartney
College.
Okay.
Before we jump into discussing our own thoughts and feelings regarding the book, I'm going to go ahead and read the blurb on the back of the book for the sake of contextualizing it. Quote, find a gateway to the underworld, steal a soul out of hell. A simple plan, except people who make this particular journey rarely come back. But Galaxy Alex Stern is determined to break Darlington out of purgatory, even if it costs her a future at Lethe and at Yale. Forbidden from attempting a rescue, Alex and Dawes can't call on the Ninth House for help, so they assemble a team of dubious allies to save the gentlemen of Lethe. Together, they will have to navigate a maze of arcane texts and bizarre artifacts to uncover the society's most closely guarded secrets and break every rule doing it. But when faculty members begin to die off, Alex knows these aren't just accidents. Something deadly is at work in New Haven. And if she is going to survive, she'll have to reckon with the monsters of her past and a darkness built into the university's very walls. Thick with history and packed with Bardugo's signature twists, Hellbent brings to life an intricate world full of magic, violence, and all too real monsters. Without any further ado, let's get into it. So this book is so new that there's no trigger warnings on the website. So I literally was just going off of what I remembered this morning, but I remember almost nothing already about this book. So okay. If I forgot any, please insert. Trigger warnings, attempted suicide, gore, death, manipulation, toxic relationships. It's a dark book. It's dark academia.
It is. There's I think that kind of covers the big ones.
Right? I think so too. If we remember one, we'll.
Yeah.
We'll say something. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while since we read Ninth House. I think we covered Ninth House as one of our first books of 2022. So mm-hmm. It's kind of appropriate to cover Hellbent now, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Leigh Bardugo has said that she can see 16 potential books in Alex Stern's world. So I was not at all shocked when this ended on there's going to be another book.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Can I say something?
You may.
Which is, I felt that this book successfully did not have too much second book syndrome in the way that we've been saying second book syndrome recently.
Yes.
Because recent books we've read where there's like somebody missing and we have to get them back, which is pretty frequent, I feel.
That's become the like
it's the thing.
Prototype for us. Yeah.
Okay. It's like, here's the template, insert your characters.
Yeah.
This was kind of like that, except we got to talk and see Darlington. Like, yeah. he was no longer like, we don't know where he is.
Right.
It was like, we see him.
Yeah.
We're talking to him. He's not all there.
No.
But we do see him.
That being said, I do think I enjoyed Ninth House more.
I agree.
Okay. So it didn't like fully fall into the second book syndrome, but yeah.
Hold on. My cat is sitting on a cutting board that had jalapenos on it, and he's going to regret the rest of the day if I don't intervene. One second. Crisis averted.
Crisis averted.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like Ninth House had something in it, You know, that was a very different vibe than Hellbent. I think also there was so much lead up to this book. So maybe I had really high expectations instead of going in with no expectations.
But you went into Ninth House with high expectations.
I did, but I've since learned not to do that because it's been ruining other books for me.
Okay.
I read Ninth House in September 2021. So that was like peak. I have high I have super high expectations and I'm hoping they meet.
And it did.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It definitely did.
Yeah.
I loved that we finally got some Darlington.
Yeah.
I loved that upon his entrance, we got to see his dick.
Erect.
Erect. Glowing. And glowing. I was like, Bardugo knew what we all wanted. We missed Darlington. She gave us all of him.
Oh my God.
When I read that line, I was like, oh.
Okay.
Hello there.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was very Darlington of him.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Was it like here's the thing. So obviously it's been so long since I read Ninth House.
Yeah.
I do think I should have reread it. Like some things definitely fell back into place.
Mm-hmm.
Reading Hellbent. But like I feel like we did kind of get more like I forgot how Darlington's character was in Ninth House.
Okay.
Like I remember the personality of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, Darlington was obviously missing for most of Ninth House. But we got those, like, flashbacks and stuff because it, like, jumped around a little bit. And so, like, we got his personality still in Ninth House. And then for this one, for most of the book, he's, like, half demon. So his personality isn't really his personality. And so I was like, I don't really remember. Like, I obviously know who he is, but, like, I don't know who he is. You know?
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I feel like even though we met Darlington in the first book, I feel like we didn't necessarily get
to know him.
To know him. Yeah. Because it was also memory through Alex's eyes.
That's true. So maybe that'll be for next book.
I would hope so. Muhammad, I swear to God, bro. He's sitting on my keyboard now. I do feel like the theme of the gentleman demon, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, I fucking love that.
I love the way that Darlington is referred to in all ways, you know?
Yes, yes.
He's the gentleman of Lethe. He's the gentleman demon, you know? He's I think that his character is just opening up for us.
Uh-huh.
Because he got a pav at the end of the book.
I know. So I think like next book they'll like I don't know if it'll just be the two of them or
I feel like it will.
Yeah.
I feel like I really did enjoy the switch off in POVs in this book. Because we did also, when they were doing that, like...
And they were going down into hell.
Yeah, when they were trying to go into hell, we got Dawes. We got the other kid.
Turner.
Yeah, Trip. I know Turner. Trip. Yes, thank you.
Trip.
Yeah, we got Trip. We got other perspectives, which I thought... And we even got... sorry, what was Alex's friend's name who died?
Helly,
yes. Yes, so I think it was really interesting to get different perspectives other than Alex's this time. Uh-huh. I have a deep question for you.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not that deep. Do you read those, the in-betweens, like the things in between the chapters?
Oh, because I did audiobook, I was forced to.
Yeah, so did I, but I just stopped paying attention between them.
Oh, yeah, I don't pay attention to them, but I listen to them.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I just couldn't.
No.
I just couldn't make myself read them. I don't know. I was like, no.
See, and, like, I know that it probably ties different things together. Like,
yeah, it's probably telling us things, you know?
Exactly. No, like, it reminds me of, like, Addie LaRue, when those little things before the chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first time I read them, I wasn't paying attention. And then the second time I read it, I was like, oh my God. Like, these have a purpose.
Right.
So I think it's probably like that. But
I think, because a lot of them I just would, look at them for a second and go, okay, that's signed by Dawes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, interesting. She's very important.
Yes, so she is.
I know Dawes is going to do play some bigger role.
Yes.
I can feel it in my bones.
Yes. I totally, total transparency here. Started the book, completely forgot who. I remembered Turner. I remembered Alex. And I remembered Darlington. And mm-hmm. So they start talking about Dawes. And I'm like, who the fuck is Dawes? Like, I don't remember who anybody is.
Justice for Pammy.
I know. I totally forgot about her.
Justice for Pammy.
And then I started to remember. But, yeah.
That's kind of funny. Poor Pammy.
I feel like the first book had a more diverse plot. Like, there was just, more...
I think the thing was that had multiple plots. Like, it was this girl is dead. Then there's also we're meeting Alex, and she's got her backstory that's slowly being revealed to us.
Right.
And also we know Darlington's gone. So we're also getting the flashback of her meeting Darlington. There was a lot going on that was distracting us from the fact that, like, the bad guy was the bad guy, you know?
Right.
I felt this one was pretty obvious.
Yeah, it was obvious, and it was just, like, I don't... Yeah, not, not lackluster. I can't think of a word I want to use for that, but it just wasn't as flashy.
Yeah, I think that the book one worked really well, especially if your brain likes to focus on a billion things at one time.
Yeah.
And so this one was kind of definitely a slowdown from the first one, I agree with you. It was like, we know where Darlington is, we just got to get him out, we kind of have a new team of peeps, and the only... Besides the fact that we have to, you know, go to hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only other obstacle is the school, is Lethe.
Yeah.
So I think it did lack, like, I don't know, all of the craziness the Ninth House had in a lot of ways. Yeah. And then what did you think about, like, oh, and now there's vampires?
Yeah, that was, that threw me off a little bit.
I was like, Bardugo.
But also, like, I like that they were able to tie that back. Because at first I was like, what the fuck now? They're, like, these types of monsters? Like, what are we, where are we going with this?
Yes.
But, I'm glad it was tied back to, like, this is what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, me too. Because when it was first dropped, I was like, I don't know.
I don't know about this one. It's feeling Shadow Hunter-y.
Yes,
now.
It was feeling Shadow Hunter-y now. It was. I totally, totally agree. I was literally thinking that.
Yeah.
It was giving Clary stumbling upon something she wasn't supposed to, you know.
Simon accidentally becoming a vampire.
It was giving
Trip accidentally becoming a vampire.
It really was. Wait a minute. Yeah, that was kind of like, oof. I guess they needed something to pull in whatever the next book is going to start with.
Yeah.
So I guess that made sense, but it really was giving, like, Cassandra Clare.
Yeah.
Maybe with just better writing
mm-hmm.
and older characters, but that's a very good point, honestly.
Yeah.
I felt like I was enjoying it once I was about 30% of the way through.
Okay.
Just because I feel like I needed to remember things. And I guess, to be fair, I did read Ninth House twice. Maybe that's why I remember things a little bit more
clearly. That would make sense.
Because I read it, and then I read it again for the pod. That was before I stopped rereading.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that's why I remember it a little bit better. But I was like, okay, I'm with you. I'm here now. I'm kind of understanding what's going on. And it was very exciting to read a little bit more about Alex's character. Because now we know, like, we had that big reveal at the end of Ninth House where, like, she was the one who killed everybody that day in her past and stuff.
Right.
I know, like, a lot of Latina content creators don't like Ninth House because they don't like Alex Stern's particular way of being represented. And now I feel like I want to reread Ninth House just to see what they mean. You know what I mean? Because when I read Ninth House, I was like, relatable content. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I thought that Alex's character was really relatable, but perhaps that is just because I do have one Mexican parent, one white parent.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, go ahead.
I was saying, like, the particular complaints have been, you know, like, obviously perpetuating stereotypes.
Yeah, like with her dad.
With her dad. And then was there the issue with, like, the drug stuff too? Or,
yeah.
Like, what I, because I heard the dad stuff and I haven't really heard much else beyond that. But, like,
I want to say that one of the creators that I've seen complaining about this, I will not name drop, but she's just a hater to her core anyways. Okay. I followed her for a long time because I want to support Latina content creators, especially on Book Talk. Mm-hmm. But it got to the point where she just hates things to hate things.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, I just can't watch your content anymore. Like, you're just – like, I'm a hater, so that's saying something.
Yeah.
Right? Like and she was one of the bigger content creators that I saw complaining about the racism in Ninth House.
Okay.
And I was like, huh? I don't. So I want to reread it just to get understand at least where they're coming from. And I think this time around when I was reading Hellbent, mm-hmm. I was looking for things. I was like, okay, show me the racism in Alex's character. Because maybe I wasn't seeing it in Ninth House because I had my rose-colored glasses on and I was really enjoying Ninth House.
Yeah.
So this is like, I know nothing about how this story is going to be. Show me what everybody's talking about. And so I like picked a tab color for potentially racist things that were mentioned. And I only used it once. And it wasn't even towards Hispanic Alex? People.
Yeah.
It was the map table thing in Lethe that Turner brought up. That used to be used to find runaway slaves.
Yes.
And I was like, well, if that's the only racist thing I caught in this book, and it was calling out that thing.
The racist thing, yeah.
I was kind of like, I don't know. Maybe there was – I don't know. I need to reread Ninth House, I feel, before I say there was some overreacting. Because I think any, like, feelings that something is racist, if that applies to you, is valid. Like,
yeah, totally.
I'm not at all trying to say that's not racist. I just feel like I was looking for it this time and I didn't see it. So,
yeah,
I'm perhaps Leigh Bardugo. I don't know. Somebody new on our team. Because I remember reading Ninth House and being like, I thought this was like the way that a white person should write a person of color, but maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
I don't know.
Hey, don't know. I know in the future when whatever the next book is titled is going to come out, I will need to reread Ninth House and Hellbent. Because, like, I genuinely think I would have enjoyed this more and understood more of what was going on if I had done a better refresher.
That's fair. I think I just remember, too, that when you read Ninth House the first time, you were reading the dialogue.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I felt like I remember that when I was reading Hellbent because I found myself like wanting to skip to dialogue sometimes.
Yeah.
And then being like, wait a minute. Because I kind of remember in our conversation like last time that I said something about like a big reveal and you were like, that didn't happen. And I was like, yes, fuck.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So maybe I feel like perhaps I just want to do a reread anyways, so maybe we can buddy reread.
Okay, maybe if I read Ninth House, I'm going to be like, it'll feel like I'm reading it for the first time. So
maybe.
It'd be one of those, the trend where like books, I'd sell my soul to read this book for the first time again. And I don't even have to sell my soul for it. I can
you can just do it.
Life hack, just that's skip life hack to the dialogue.
Because for a second, I thought you did that with Atlas 6. But,
Atlas 6.
But I don't think you did. I think it was Ninth House too. I mean, maybe.
I think.
Because we didn't have the audiobook for that one when we read it.
Yeah, I do that a lot, so.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, actually. But I'm keen to reread Ninth House because I'm like, I know there are things that are going to click for me if I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to specifically look for the racism. I want to see it. I need to see it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard when you really like a piece of media to accept that it's got things that are bad in it, you know?
Right.
And so I feel like I want to keep, you know, to push my biases aside and be able to see it for what it really is, if it really is like that. So I feel like I need to reevaluate.
Yeah, I agree.
This is the year of reevaluation.
Growth. Prefrontal cortex is developed.
That's been our theme of the weekend. Oh yeah, we saw each other this weekend.
We saw each other in person.
We did. I mean, this is going out next week, but when date of recording, we saw each other just a couple days ago.
Yeah,
it was so nice. We made zero content, but that's okay.
We took a selfie at Chili's.
We did. We took two selfies, I think. At one outside of Chili's and one inside of the Chili's.
Yeah,
we had a great time. It was great seeing you. You gave me a cute present, and you gave me cute little what are those things? Bookmarks, which I'm excited for. I'm gonna drop some at Powell's. I think.
Yes, just put them in books. Put them.
I'm gonna put them in books that we've covered, so that when people are reading it and they see the bookmark, they're like, "Oh my god!"
I feel like that's illegal, but
Who knows? Bookstores do it. They put bookmarks in their own books.
Okay, but they own the books. Okay. You do you, boo.
Yeah, that's what I want to do with them. I had to leave the. I had to ship myself the your present and the bookmarks because I couldn't fit all of my things in my bag. But it'll be here Friday.
Did you have to ship anything else or just those
jeans,
things?
Shoes?
Okay.
There were a lot of things, so I was like, it's worth it.
That's shitty if you would have had to just ship, like pay and to then, ship just the thing.
No. Then I went back to El Campeón to buy more gansitos and little treats that SD likes to throw them in my box, and I was
cute.
Tell no one.
Love it.
Before we move on to discuss the rest of Hellbent, let's listen to a quick word about the brand sponsoring today's episode.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, let's continue the conversation. I feel like I have a hiccup. What else? I don't like this cover, but... Oh, you didn't buy it, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, don't like the cover, but the inside is beautiful. Let me send you a picture so you can be part of the discussion.
Okay, wait, can you... I would like to explain, digest, process what Alex actually is.
She's like a medium.
No, but it was like the wheel something or other at the end. Like,
oh, the wheel walker.
And she can like summon hellfire. And so it's like her process of becoming, like realizing she has powers and like...
Yeah.
She is the gateway in hell, and she could let people in and out.
Yeah. I don't know. But you know what I think it's going to do? I think that's the point. I think we're supposed to be confused right now. Isn't that beautiful?
Holy shit.
When I opened it at the store, I was like...
tattooed on me.
I know, right? It's so cool. And I like the colors a lot.
Yeah.
I think... that the point of all those reveals at the end of the book is to be confusing to us right now. And I think it's all going to have to do with her dad.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's why he's so like, we don't know where he is. And she barely remembers him and all that shit.
At one point I forget which part it was, but she was like trying to summon whatever. And she like mentioned that she was trying, like she goes, whatever I got from you, dad. Like,
yeah, I don't remember that, but I believe you.
Okay. Yeah. That happened at one point.
I think that he's going to be a character
and
not maybe an active one, but like one that we are trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Because she made him purposefully vague in the first book.
Right.
And almost did not mention him at all in this one.
Right. Yeah, I think he'll definitely play a role in us understanding who Alex is and what she definitely. Is.
I think there's a lot more for us to learn, too, in the next one. I feel like it's kind of world building all over again now that we're learning new things.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. But I feel like also that's on par with, like, the vampire stuff that we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
Which I still don't know if I'm into that or not. But, you know. I feel like we're going to get a lot more, like, heavy information. But I feel like Dawes is going to be playing a big role.
Dawes is a much more important character than I originally thought, obviously.
I feel like she's, like, the mousy type.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she's about to be, I don't know.
Not the mousy type,
yeah. Wow. Like, we're about to see it. Well, I mean, we saw, like, her inner monologue of, like, killing that guy, mm-hmm. Blake or whatever Blake, his name yeah. was. And I think that we don't often even really get to hear Dawes' perspective on anything because we're always in Alex's head.
Yeah, and she also just, like, doesn't speak, like, even mm-hmm. in conversations when it comes to making plans, like, she lets other people take the lead.
Yeah. Well, she's things. Really important to Lethe.
Yeah.
More so than I think we're supposed to understand.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to play a big role. I hope that Dawes is still good.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. When this book started and I didn't remember yeah. who Dawes was, I was like, okay, so that's going to be the bad guy. All right, let's, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think about Alex's friend getting kind of, like, pulling herself into everything? Mercy. What was her name? Mercy, yeah.
I don't think that's going to end well.
No, I think she's going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that just tracks with Alex's, like, that, like, it sucks to say, but, like, mm-hmm. that would just have to be, that would fit for, like, Alex having to reckon or, like, deal with that.
Yeah. And her whole thing of, like, the people who get close to her die.
Especially the innocent ones, the ones who deserve to stay alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that we kind of got some closure regarding Helly.
Yes.
And Alex accepting finally that, like, maybe she was putting Helly on a pedestal and Helly wasn't actually this perfect human. And
she let the bunny die.
She let the bunny die, which I was like, thank God we're understanding his fucking rabbit. I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm like, where's the rabbit?
I thought it was very fitting to come full circle for Alex. And even when, like, the little demon that was pretending to be, like, Helly, yeah, was like, it should have been me. That mm-hmm. lived and da 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 da. I think that, like, even though that was supposed to have the opposite effect on Alex, I feel like it eventually made her realize, like, I'm still here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And Helly, you know, could have done good things with the rest of her life, or she probably couldn't have, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it was like, and I made it out, and then I made it out, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like she got to have her closure.
You know what I was thinking a lot about this book? What? During this book, I think it's probably because of, like, all the different types quizzes that are going around book talk and those niche little things of TikTok. But I was like, I was just trying to analyze how Leigh Bardugo was writing the characters and, like, what roles they were fulfilling.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And I mean, my thoughts kind of stopped there, but I was, like, thinking about it, you know, like, I didn't, like, come to any conclusions, but it was, I don't know why I was picturing in the writing room and, like, what is this character fulfilling in this, in, like, the needs of the story and everything like that. And how, so, like, Mercy, like, kind of the innocent one, the human in the like, they're all human, but she's, like, the most, like, human in the non-human world almost.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just, like,
I think that was know. That's also fitting, your idea, because they did have, when they all needed to go down to hell,
mm-hmm.
they did each have to play their role, you know,
mm-hmm.
of the soldier.
I have I was happy to say that I was thinking about it before that part happened.
Oh, nice.
I know, right? But I was thinking about like the soldier, the king, the poet quiz.
Yeah.
All of that. Did you ever take that?
No, I still haven't. If I look it up, will it pop up on Google?
Yeah.
Or...
yeah.
Hold on, let me close my little smoothie. Okay. Bang, bang, bang. Okay.
I feel like you quiz. Are you a soldier, a poet, or a king? Okay. Should we take it right now?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, let's take it. You quiz. Gotcha.
I already took it. I wonder.
What is a duty? What is duty is the first question.
Yep.
An excuse, violence, or undeniable?
I already took this, and I know what I got. But every time I do these quizzes, I always end up answering differently.
Me.
So, because I have no idea who I am as a person.
If you were to hold a crown, it would be covered in blood, the one of the guilty. It would be covered in blood, the one of the innocents. It would be covered in blood, your own. The throne looks right at you, mm-hmm. like something to be destroyed, golden and covered in flowers. The sword is in your mouth. Pray you won't choke on it. Is in your hands. You picked it up yourself. Is at your side. It bore your name long before you did. There are rules. How many? None, and you will keep it this way. One, and you will follow it. Too many, alas. Pick something fucked up.
Kylo.
Bodies, parents, names. I wonder which one the daddy issues will choose.
I know, right?
Fear. A fear, despite all these your attempts, so you have never been a healer. I know, but no one likes dead air while I'm reading these in my head. Despite all your attempts, you have never been a healer. You hurt people, and they leave you, and you are alone in a room full of silence. I feel like I don't even need to read the other ones, but I will. You did your best, and it wasn't enough. You tried and failed and kept trying, and it wasn't enough. You had the power to change things, and it wasn't enough. Oh, that's
hurt
a little bit.
Yep.
The war is still not over, or maybe it ended years ago, but you were too angry to realize. Your wounds have stopped healing. You keep going as if you had something to prove to the devil. Fuck. Those are all really deep compared to the first one. There is a home waiting for you, I promise. What does it have? Windows, someone else, peace. You enter a town. It is something to breathe in, something to make yours, something to accept. You leave the town, and you leave it broken, quietly, or laughing. Pick a quote and make it about love. Come and be human with me, Keaton Henson. So I wait for you like a lonely house till you will see me again and live in me. Till then, my windows ache. Oh, I'm always going to pick Pablo Neruda. Sorry, I won't even read the last one. What?
I'll read the last one because I'm still on this one. You're trembling, but he reaches over and he touches you like a prayer for which no words exist by Richard Sykin. Why are these all by men? But
I don't know. I love Pablo Neruda, though.
I know. Pablo Neruda doesn't count. But I loved when I took it the first time. I just loved the come and be human with me.
Yeah, that's really beautiful.
I fucking love that.
I would have picked that if there was not
if there wasn't a Pablo Neruda. Yeah.
He is my weakness. The one who hurts you haunts you. In your nightmares, they say, I love you. I forgive you. I am disappointed in you. Ouch. Ouch. What does your anger feel like? Like a curse. You don't know if you were born with the anger in your veins or if it just stuck after a while. You hate it, but it's all you have. Like rebellion, you are angry not because not enough people are and because anger is a strength in a world of apathy. Like shame, you are not supposed to feel angry. Anger is ugly, you tell yourself. You refuse to look in the mirror. You're afraid of what you might see. Did you pick the middle one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, very what I feel you would have picked. What is a sin? Wrong, inevitable, alive. Who taught you about guilt? The silence, the world, God. Okay. How will you die? As a consequence, tired and lonely?
Tired.
Same, that's what I picked. When you die, where will you go? Somewhere good, hell,
anywhere
but here?
Yes.
Where is hell anyway? Other people, barren doubt? Throw a wish to the world. Let me fight. Let me be free. Let me be fine. Ow, this one hurts. It's 3 a.m. What do you ask the ceiling? Quotes from Keaton Henson's Insomnia. But how can I sleep with the world in my head? How can you love me with all that I've done? Oh, who is the man I am trying to be? Okay. I got the king. Isn't that what people don't want to get?
And then you always get it. Yeah, I always get the king. I got the king too. Because you want to be the king is always the one who wants to be the poet. And you go in, okay. You want to be the poet, and then you end up getting the king. And it's very older sibling syndrome. Oh. It's very only daughter syndrome. It's very I'll send you. I have so many TikToks on this.
Okay, yeah. Because now I've taken it. Now I know.
Yes. So you're the king. And it's all about, like, it's more tragic than being anything else because you so badly want to be all these things, the poet, the this, the that, but you sacrifice those things that you want for a sense of duty, and like you have to, but like there are still things you have to fulfill and roles you have to fulfill. And so you sacrificed your passions and that you want to be a poet or this or that.
Interesting. That's really interesting because I feel like every time I hear people talking about this quiz, they all wanted to be the thing that they weren't, you know? Like, even people who wanted to be the king got the soldier. People who wanted to be the soldier got the poet. Like, things like it's a circle and you don't get what you thought you were going to get, which is interesting.
So, and then I found the person who created the quiz on TikTok and they posted the analytics for it. Like, the amount of people, like, most people got the king.
Interesting. And I feel like you and I picked different answers for a lot of them. Not that I really know, but I know, like, on ones where I knew what you picked, it's not necessarily what I picked.
Yeah.
And we still get the same result, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But when I'm reading the little snippet results under, the snippet, thank you, is there will come a ruler whose brow is laid in thorns, smeared with oil like David's boy. Duty, strength, resignation. You were told to do things and you did them. The world is something that was put into your hands and that you must deal with, so you will. You have a rigid back and steady hands, either metaphorically or physically. Is it nature or nurture? You don't know. You're tired of being steady. You dream of feeling alive. Not that you aren't, but sometimes it's hard to remember that there's a heart between your ribs. Your love is where you breathe. Come on, breathe in, out. It starts now. I like that.
I like that.
I like it. Oh, yeah. How do you compare? 62% of people get the king.
Yes.
21% the soldier, 15% the poet. So what does it take to get the poet? I'm curious.
I want to retake it and just answer the ones that I think are for the poet. And like,
I bet I could get the poet. I bet it's just all the whimsical answers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel I relate to this snippet.
So. Yeah.
And I like it. Whoever made this, shout out to you. That was pretty good. Which hosier wrote you? What?
What?
There's a quiz that popped up at the top. Wait, where'd it go?
I didn't get that.
No, it went away. Soldier, poet, king in Espanol.
Oh, okay. Wait, we're on the same.
It's under the trending now. I want it to come back. Come back.
Wait, no, come back. It's like, come which hosier song are you? Or
no, it was like, wait, I don't know. I saw it so quickly.
Ooh, there's even more. Soldier, poet, king, healer, hermit, and a trickster.
I saw that one at the same time you did. Which art motif are you? Soldier, poet, king. I bet it's going to pop up soon. Which Marauders era character are you? Would I date you? All lowercase.
Bring that to the first date.
What moment are you? I judge your taste in men, but it's solely on hockey guys. I feel like maybe it won't re-pop up.
Okay, well now I'm gonna do you quiz hosier. Oh.
Slut, loser, or princess, I'm in. Take this quiz. Is that an ad?
Are you taking it?
Yeah, slut, loser, or princess, I'm taking this.
I'm the princess. Wait, there is a color? Which hosier song are you? I'm doing it.
Did it pop up? Okay, wait.
No, I literally just Googled it. I did hosier.
Well, I want to see. I want to do it. Hold on. How do I get back to where I was? Did you go to new quiz?
I literally just went to Google and I said hosier you quiz.
Hosier.
And it was which hosier song are you?
You quiz. Quicks. That's what I just typed in. Yeah. Okay.
Yay. Okay. We'll do this. And then I do have therapy in 12 minutes. So we'll wrap up after this.
Yeah. Okay. Choose a path you'd most be drawn to. The one that leads to a solitary cottage somewhere in the mountains. The one that leads to a dark forest that seems to whisper to all who pass, those who pass through. Ooh. The one that leads to a town that holds an ancient secret. The one with no end in sight. The one that leads to a small boat on the sea. The one that leads to a towering cathedral that looks hundreds of years old. Ooh, this is hard.
That one. I'm between the first two.
Oh, me too. choose your favorite kind of weather.
I want to go to the forest.
Okay, cold, foggy, and overcast. Warm and sunny. Frigid and snowy. Thunderstorm.
I make things more complicated because I'm like, to go outside or to stay inside and like read a book. Yeah,
I feel you.
Different weather, different favorite weathers for different activities.
You know what I've learned being in Portland is I've never been a person who like longs for summer. I'm longing for the summer a little bit. I just miss the sun. It doesn't even have to be hot. I just miss seeing the sunlight. I get what people say now.
And you know what? I think my favorite kind of weather is thunderstorm because I grew up in a desert.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which element do you connect with the most? Earth, air, fire, and water.
What do you connect with the most?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
My first reaction was fire, but I'm actually afraid of fire, so maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe the earth. Choose a color palette. Red, Virgo, blue, yellow. I know. Deep blues, greens, browns, black, white, and gray, vibrant oranges, yellows, and reds. Light blue, silver, gray, white. What is this
palette for, though?
You're asking too many questions.
I know.
I'm going to say deep blues, greens, and browns, because that's the only one with green. Choose a tree.
Orange.
Crab apple, birch, weeping willow, and evergreen.
The weeping willow. I fucking love weeping willows.
Choose the Richard Sykin quote that hits the hardest. I'll be your slaughterhouse, your killing floor, your Morgan final, resting, walking around with this bullet inside me because I couldn't make you love me and I'm tired of pulling your teeth. Wow. Oh no, my scrolly wheel isn't working. He was pointing at the moon, but I was looking at his hand. Actually, you said love for you is larger than the usual romantic love. It's like a religion. It's terrifying. That one. I don't even really need to read the other ones.
I'm curious about the other ones.
Tell me how all this and love too will ruin us. These, our bodies possessed by light. Tell me we'll never get used to it. Oh, I like that too.
I like that one too.
You're in a car with a beautiful boy and you're trying not to tell him that you love him and you're trying to choke down the feeling and you're trembling, but he reaches over and he touches you like a prayer for which no words exist. And you feel your heart taking root in your body like you've discovered something you didn't even have a name for. Fuck. These are good.
Oh, who is this man?
Who is this man? We gotta go look him up. Richard Sykin. I'm gonna write this down. Okay. And the last one. Oh, the things we invent when we are scared and want to be rescued. Fuck. Yikes. This, maybe I need to go to therapy after this. Okay. I don't know. Maybe that one.
Okay.
Next. Oh, sorry. Sorry, people. I cannot explain the art that there is below, but choose the piece of art you're most drawn to. Am I basic? I'm basic.
Are you going to do the kiss?
No.
Oh. You're doing the Van Gogh?
Yeah. Choose a chalice to drink from. The ruby encrusted one with a transparent liquid. The clear one with the shimmering silver liquid. No, thank you. I don't accept drinks from strangers. The wooden one with the deep red liquid. The gold one with the black liquid. Yeah. Choose your favorite Florence and the Machine album. I'm not going to lie to you. I barely listen to Florence and the Machine. Sorry. Which one is your favorite?
Ceremonials. Wait, I have to look. I have a lot of Florence and the Machine songs saved, but I don't know the names of the albums. Hang on, let me see. So let me see what the song, like my favorite songs and which albums they're from.
Okay, brief pause.
Oh, I love Lungs. Heavy in Your Arms, Howl, Drumming Song, Cosmic Love, You've Got the Love. That's all from Lungs.
Okay, I'll pick Lungs.
And wait, how big, how blue? No, I only have one. Let me see Ceremonial. Never Let Me Go is in Ceremonials. Only a 4 and 0. I'm going to have to say Ceremonials.
Ooh, we varied. Choose which quality is / would be most important to you and a lover. Openness, vulnerability is everything to me. I want to know my partner inside and out and vice versa. Spontaneity. monotony, Jesus fucking Christ, and routine bore me. I want to be with someone that can come up with ways to keep our relationship exciting. Humor, there is nothing more important to me than someone that can make me laugh in any situation. Understanding, I want to be able to openly discuss things with my partner and be met with empathy and compassion. That one. Choose a mythological companion. Banshee, mermaid, fairies, selkie, Kraken. I literally am not even functional without a coffee in the morning. I'm not going to lie. Not to sound like a millennial, but my brain just does not work. A griffin, a centaur, a phoenix, a dragon, or a siren.
I'm going to do fairies because I'm a basic book.
I know.
Bitch.
I was going to pick that. And then the dragon, I was like, okay, a dragon. Choose your favorite Greek deity. Dionysus, god of wine, pleasure, and madness. Aphrodite, goddess of love and beauty. Apollo, god of music, poetry, and light. Poseidon, god of the sea. I have a hiccup. I'm sorry. Hades, god of the dead and king of the underworld. Artemis, goddess of the wilderness and the hunt. Zeus, god of the sky and thunder. Athena, goddess of wisdom, courage, and war. Persephone, goddess of spring and queen of the underworld.
I have to choose Artemis because, like, that's very queer-coded.
That's really funny. Why do we... I picked Artemis.
It's because the goddess of the hunt, they're all in the books. It's, like, her entire hunt people, like, they don't associate with men.
Yeah. Maybe so, that is inherently there.
There we go.
Finally,
I know what you're choosing for this one.
I know what you're choosing for this one. Next. Oh, I got It Will Come Back.
I got someone new. I don't like my results.
I like It Will Come Back.
Oh my god, only 4% of people get someone new.
You're special. Oh my god, 20% of people get It Will Come Back. I'm not special. I'm the opposite of special.
I want Shrike. Shrike is my favorite. I want a Shrike too.
Or Work Song.
Or even like From Eden.
From Eden. Oh. Oof. Well, I'm basic and you're not, I guess. That's what we learned from that. I'll take it.
I'm okay
anyway.
With it. All right. Rating.
Rating for Hellbent. I'm going to give this one a 4. I enjoyed it. It didn't blow me away the way that Ninth House did the first time I read it.
But I will continue to read this series.
Oh, I'm invested. Darlington has my heart. His oh my god, we didn't even mention when at the end when he's like, I am sworn to you or whatever he said.
Will serve you for the rest of my like literally for the rest of his life. My jaw dropped and my stomach did a flip. I was like, whoa!
Yes.
New
no, I
kink
was like
unlocked.
Oh,
okay.
No, literally, like, yes, pledge yourself to me for my entire fucking life. Yes. And yours. That's perfect. I'm in.
On your knees, you will serve me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yep.
Which, yeah, I just love Darlington. I want more Darlington, please. Please and thank you. I will serve you till the end of days. In the dream she laughed and loved me too. Her eyes were black and full of stars. That was Darlington's little, like, hallucination at the end.
But then they also mention it before.
Yeah.
And it was even in real world, and it was a lot more serious. And he was like, I serve you. And I was like, oh.
Yes.
Giddy.
Yes.
Okay, Darlington. Whatever you say.
Yeah. If you must.
Literally. Oh, yeah. I am bound to you, Stern, to the woman who brought me out of hell. I will serve you till the end of days.
Oh, bro.
I love Darlington. It
I am
just really
bound to
it
you.
Was very reminiscent of when they were sleeping next to each other at the house in Ninth House.
Uh-huh.
And he's like snuggled up. He's like spooning her and he's playing with her nipple.
Yeah.
And she's like, Darlington, wake up and fuck me or knock it off.
Yeah. I'm so excited to get more of their dynamic.
Yes, because it's very much hinted at that they're like for each other. You know what I mean? Like in both of their little hallucination dreams at the end of what they would get if they were to like sell their soul or whatever was happening in the end, right? They were both like in each other's lives.
Yeah.
In a very like domestic, we're together kind of way. So
yeah.
I want them.
Okay, I have to go prepare myself for therapy. So
okay, have fun.
Thank you.
You go. I'll read the last bit.
Okay, bye. I'm Sammy Sporstead.
Okay, I think that's where we're going to leave it for this episode. Before we part, we'd just like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on, if applicable. If you have any further questions regarding topics discussed throughout the episode, feel free to join our Hardcover Hoes Discord server via the link in the show notes or send us an email at hardcoverhosepod@gmail.com. Feel free to recommend books to cover in future episodes as well. As always, I'm Sam Cabrera-Dixon. That was Sammy Skorstad, and this has been an episode of Hardcover Hoes. If you enjoyed this listening experience and you'd like to follow along with us next time, the next book on our to-be-read list is Sweet Hand by N.G. Peltier. Until we meet again, enjoy your reading.